From Lubbock to Laredo, El Paso to Houston, and Dallas to Brownsville, we're Talking Texas with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a management or donor-controlled muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, with both the House and Texas Senate proposing so-called fixes to the Texas electric grid, it's important to understand why they are missing the target. Expert Bill Peacock joins us to explain. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. DOT-regulated drivers, owner-operators, get right with the rules. Line up your required random drug testing program with Allied Compliance Services. You'll be a valued client, and they'll be on call to help when you need it. Reach them at AlliedCompliance.com. Well, Friday, I just plain missed the Baker Hughes rig count. It is up. I'll get to that in a moment. We've got an anti-wimp update today. That's right. And in the last segment of the show, Abilene City Council candidate Cynthia Alvidres, place three candidate, will join us to talk about that race. If you're a candidate wanting to appear on the show, you just need to go to the contact page at PrattOnTexas.com. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and other interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. The Baker Hughes Rotary rig count from Friday that I just had with me and forgot to give you showed that the U.S. rig count, after we had several weeks of a falling count, the U.S. rig count went up by 8. Texas rig count grew by a net of 5, so we're up to 371 rigs drilling for oil or gas from 320 the same time a year ago. So we're up 5 to 371, and the Permian as a whole gained 7 rigs. Taylor County Republican Party, those of you in Abilene, they're going to have an Meet the Candidates Forum for the Abilene City Council. That's coming up this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. This Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at 201 Mesquite Event Center, which is easy to find because it's at 201 Mesquite Street. 201 Mesquite Event Center this Thursday, the 23rd of March. Abilene City Council Candidates Forum hosted by the Taylor County Republican Party. Chris Carnahan, chairman. Trump told his first 2024 rally in Texas this month. It will be in Waco on Saturday, March 25th. That's about all I know about it. And a sad thing, if you've been in downtown Decatur and Wise County, you know the beautiful stone buildings and that courthouse. Well, not the courthouse, but one of those buildings that's so beautiful was destroyed in a fire. It's been used as their museum, the Wise County Heritage Museum. It was built and way back in the 1800s, it was opened, first occupied in the spring of 1893. Fire broke out about 1 a.m. Saturday, and it just was so hot they couldn't do anything about it. And a great, beautiful treasure there in downtown Decatur has been lost. WFAA carrying the story. They fought the fire. Nobody was hurt, but they lost the full museum, I guess, for the county there. KFDX reporting out of Wichita Falls that a former Wichita County jailer who was arrested over 2 weeks ago for an alleged relationship with an inmate behind bars on 4 new charges. Shaylin Marie Robinson, 23, faces 4 new counts of the felony offense of violating civil rights of a person in custody or previous charge with the same offense, was no billed by Wichita County grand jury while a charge of official oppression is still pending, and they must think they got more evidence. They issued another arrest there. Well, my friends, we have an anti-wimp update for you today. A couple burglarizing parked cars stumbled into flying lead. So did a tenant in the southeast Dallas area of Pleasant Grove. A resident of an apartment complex noticed people breaking into a vehicle in the parking lot. Tenant stepped around a corner looking at him. The thieves opened fire on him with a rifle. WFAA reports the tenant, Billy, said, "When I came around from the corner, they started shooting, so I had to defend myself, so I fired back." Police say that gunfire was exchanged during a chase there between this Billy and the bad folk. "I've got 3 kids. Only thing I could do was duck and shoot at the same time," Billy told the news outlet. Well, according to Dallas police, a female suspect ran away on foot and a male suspect was taken to a local hospital for a gunshot wound, meaning Billy got a hit on the miscreant while he was ducking and shooting at the same time. All the better for Dallas County and all the better for Texas. Today in Texas History, my friends, which is sponsored by USA Investigations, they provide all types of services, including employment background checks, security, civil and criminal investigations. Learn all about the team at usainvestigations.net. This is the date, the 20th of March. Way back in 1721, an expedition under the Marquis de Aguayo crossed the Rio Grande into Texas. The expedition resulted in the increase in the number of missions in Texas from 2 to 10, the increase in the number of presidios from 1 to 4, and the establishment of so definite a Spanish empire claim to Texas that it was never again disputed by France or the French in Louisiana. It's also the date, 1955, Harriet Wingfield Smither died. She was the archivist at the Texas State Library for 28 years, and her scholarly editions include the papers of Mirabeau Lamar, the Journals of the Fourth Congress, the Journals of the Sixth Congress, and the Diary of Adolphus Stern. She retired in 1953 and was a giant in making sure we preserved our Texas history and did scholarly research. Our Look at Texas History, sponsored by USA Investigations. Visit them at usainvestigations.net. A very interesting headline. Judicial Watch, a group I really admire. Court rejects arguments. It's a victory for Judicial Watch. Court rejects argument of terrorist-tied Qatar and orders release of documents about its funding of Texas A&M. This has to do with Texas A&M having a facility or whatever over in Qatar, and it's being funded, and the university's tried to keep it all quiet and secret. And Qatar tried to prevent disclosure of its funding information, but that's counter to Texas law. A&M claimed making the records public would reveal confidential donor information. Judicial Watch countered the argument by pointing that the law only protects private donors, not donations from a foreign government body, specifically the Qatar Foundation. And they have won their lawsuit, so the Aggies are going to have to tell us who's in this. Why does it matter? Because Qatar has a history of dealing with the enemies of the United States and funding a lot of those enemies of the United States. All right, my friends. Oh, real quickly, thank you to the Texas Public Policy Foundation. They published my piece on my latest column on the crony tax break work. Everybody's trying to bring back a new version of Chapter 313. They made a few edits. Their headline, Why Bring Back a Crony Tax Break Program in Texas? You can find that at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, texaspolicy.com. And didn't know, I sent it to Roy. I didn't know it would get published. Then I happened to be doing press review today, and there it was when I load that page. All right, we're going to talk about the grid fix or the lack of a fix and putting the cost burden on us instead of where it should be, with an expert in the subject we've spoken to for many, many years here, Bill Peacock. Back in a moment on Pride on Texas.
It's the talk of Texas. Pride on Texas.
Do you have a commercial property for sale or lease? Tired of a for sale sign gathering dirt, storm, dust in front of your place with no activity and no prospects? Office, retail, restaurant, or industrial? Call me, Carl Tepper, a commercial agent with Exit Realty of Lubbock. I'm low on inventory because I've sold and leased everything. I'll get your property sold too. Call me, Carl Tepper, at 806-470-2354 for an no-obligation appointment. That's 806-470-2354.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
From Reagan to Biden, Bill Clements to Greg Abbott, here's a host who has been involved in it all while being self-employed and fighting government overreach, too. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, it is truly an honor to have with us Bill Peacock. He's an old friend of the show. He's been with us in person before many times over a very long period of time, well over 16 years, I guess. And one of the things I like about Bill Peacock, not only is he economist guy, you know, limited government, let the markets work guy. One of the things Bill wrote is so true. He wrote, "While unbelievers completely ignore scripture in every aspect of life, I'm convinced that believers, even Orthodox, evangelical believers, too often do much the same thing. Don't we all?" He said the Bible offers far more assistance for cosmologists seeking the origins of the universe and policymakers seeking to deal with property and our poverty and prosperity than most give it credit for. And you know, Bill, that is so right, because right and wrong never changes. It never changes. God's word is eternal and will outlast even the physical creation. God tells us that. And that's a good perspective. We would be a lot better off as a people if our elected officials came at things with that perspective, where go to prayer and consult God's word before we take actions. A lot of good people, but you're right, even believers don't do it. So welcome back to Pratt on Texas, Bill Peacock. And I just wanted to brag on you to the audience because I think your perspective is so good. Let's talk about the electric reliability or unreliability or whatever they are, Council of Texas, ERCOT, and the big state grid, the intrastate grid, and all these issues. This show, my listeners are pretty up to speed on this. I've been covering it for a very long time, even before the big winter freeze a few years ago. The legislature's meeting, and you contend exactly as I do, by the way, that there's a real problem with the solutions being offered. And you say the only way to ensure the reliability and affordability of the Texas grid is to stop politicians from running it. Bingo. Back up and explain to us why that's the case.
Well, thanks for having me on, Robert. I really appreciate it. It's always been a blessing to be part of your show. Well, you're absolutely right on this, and it goes back a long way, and I won't get into all the history details, but essentially, Texas in 1999 decided to introduce competition into the grid, because before that, it was just utilities would come to the PUC and say, "We want to sell electricity for this much." And they'd have an argument with the PUC, and the PUC would say this much. And then at the end of the day, they'd charge that much. And then consumers would be stuck with that, no matter whether we needed all the electricity they were bringing or not, and at that price. But then we had competition. And for 15 years or so, it really worked. You know, prices went up, prices went down. But they went down a lot more than they went up.
Yeah, let me remind everybody, this is all part of the Texas miracle. We began to see some large manufacturers come here because our power, remember Governor Davis in California and the great brownouts and all of this, our free market system for electricity actually gave us, generally speaking, some of the lowest electricity prices in these United States. So it did work, and it had direct effect of industry moving to Texas.
And it wasn't just the price. It was the reliability of the system, because rather than having the government decide how much electricity we needed, the market, the people in the market decided it. The generators and the manufacturers and the consumers, they all work together through the pricing system, and we had plenty of electricity. Even that really, you may remember, really hot, dry summer of 2011, you know, peak use, it all worked. But then, you know, what happened was you had this kind of group come together against it. There were the generators who all around the rest of the country just went to the government for money. Here in Texas, they had to work for it. They liked it as well, as long as they were making money. But when it started to not make as much money, they rebelled and wanted subsidies. And then the regulators and politicians, they got kind of, they didn't like it so much either because it was out of their control and they didn't want to get blamed for something that wasn't under their control. So
well,
they
also the human nature of less power.
Well, yeah, there's always that. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And then finally, there were all the consumer advocates and left-wing folks and the environmentalists who always like to regulate anything anyway. So basically, over the last 10-plus years, we've seen this movement towards regulation of the market. And that's why we are seeing this crisis today of much higher prices and much lower reliability. It's not because the markets don't work. It's because what we have today is not a market. We have politicians and bureaucrats running our electric grid, pretending like it's a market. And so what they're trying to do today, all the solutions out there, most of them anyway, what the PUC is doing, what Governor Abbott is pushing, the House tends to back that plan. And then the Senate has come up last week with its plan. They all want to double down on this model. And yet, politicians and bureaucrats running the system.
And yet they do it in a way where it looks like that's not what they're doing. They seem to be doing it in a way that makes it look as if they're trying to correct problems in the market. You said that everybody knows anything about the grid here. The people that are honest with it know that it's been caused by government intervention, and yet they're doubling down on more government intervention. Some of the individual things they've proposed, you know, great. I mean, you know, don't give the solar and wind people, they don't renew right. anything. They simply convert energy from one state to another exactly the same way as a gas-fired plant or coal plant or anything else.
Exactly.
But they have some points in their bills that make it appear like, oh, we're correcting for some of this. But I don't think that we're going to deal with this honestly and in a way that's good for Texas until the politicians are willing to admit that they caused the problem in part by not just the federal, but the state subsidies and the state incentives to build all of this wind and solar out there. Because there are so many hidden costs in that, folks. These CREZ lines, these connection lines, they're just sticking that on your bill and making you pay it when one of these places builds something 250 miles away from a good interconnect point. And that's crazy. I mean, that's not market stuff. So the investors in the solar and the wind energy are getting so much subsidies from the federal government that often they can sell at a negative price, pay people to take it, and still have a gross margin that's in the positive. Certainly they could do it at zero and do often. But and the consumer says, well, that's good. But you got to compare the other costs involved with it. There are always trade-offs. I mean, these interconnect lines just go on your bill. It has nothing. If you use no electricity, you're still paying it because it's part of the base fee.
You're exactly right. There was a study came out last year and reported that because of wind and solar power, electricity from wind and solar farms in Texas since 2000 and some period of time, wholesale electricity prices have dropped were $27 billion below where they might have been otherwise. And I didn't look at the methodology to see if that number was accurate. I just said, okay, let's take that as a given. And then I went in with the Energy Alliance, where I'm working on this issue right now. I calculated the amount of subsidies that had gone from the federal government, state government, and local governments to support those industries. And it's $24 billion over that same period of time. So essentially, if there has been a price break of that much in the Texas electricity grid, your electricity bills are somewhat lower. $24 billion of that is just subsidies, right? And so basically the prices might be lower some, but it's because you're paying for it on your income taxes and your property taxes and through other ways.
It's always, it's always a trade-off. We're visiting with Bill Peacock. We'll be back in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
Pratt's interview continues in a moment. Stand by.
Need attachments on your skid steer to street sweep, pallet forks, brush cutter, snow blades, or land levelers? West Texas Attachments can help you today. West Texas Attachments is your go-to on all skid steer attachments. Rent or buy, westtexasattachments.com has attachments for every type of skid steer job. Rock and brush attachments, manure forks for dairies and cow lots. westtexasattachments.com delivers when you need it. Go to westtexasattachments.com.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Silvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver, and the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, PrattOnTexas.com.
Welcome, Texans, and those who wish you were. It's time for more Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your king of the Texas commentariat, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We're visiting with Bill Peacock, and we're talking about the fact that the legislature and the governor just can't seem to get out of the cycle they've gotten into, and that's having politicians run, manage, set policy for the market for electricity in Texas. And Bill's laid out the case in the last segment about the history that when we went to really a market-based system, things, things worked very well. But over the last decade, there have been more and more intrusions back into it, and they claim it's a market-based system, but it's really not anymore. And the wind and solar people have been a huge part of the problem. Both the House and the Senate are offering up fixes that on paper, there are parts of them that look pretty good. I mean, you know, we're going to look good, but I've been saying from the beginning that no fix is a fix if you're just giving subsidies to people or rewarding them with payment credits or anything to have production available when we get into crisis points and need more grid stuff, and unless you put that cost directly on the people who caused the problem. And Bill, it's my contention that everybody else is pretty much dispatchable. They can spin up. It's the solar and wind people who can't, and everybody's proposal seems to make us, the ratepayers, pay for that instead of making those people pay for it. My attitude is if you're going to be on the grid, then you've got to provide for dispatchable power. You can do that in numerous ways. We don't care if y'all want to band together and build a gas plant for every so many megawatts of wind power, whatever, and have it online ready to go. You can do that if you want to pay money to another generator to build more generation, whatever. But shouldn't those investors, because that's what we're talking about, investors who are already rolling in money from federal subsidies and state subsidies to a lesser degree, why aren't they picking up the cost for the problem they've caused to the grid? And why do our politicians, who seem to kind of understand this, why are they not willing to move in that direction?
Yeah, that's a good question. And maybe I can tell the quick story to help us understand that. So back in 2006, the PUC here in Texas, Public Utility Commission, went after TXU, tried to get $200 million out of them in fines because they were charging prices that were too high. And so they only got like $5 million out of that. But then they instituted a bunch of regulations designed to keep prices low because they didn't want prices to get too high. And then the wind and solar guys come in. And as you pointed out, they're getting all these subsidies. So they further drive prices down because they can offer at low prices and everybody else has to follow them down because coal plants can't turn off. Nuclear plants can't turn off. And so prices go down even lower. Well, then about 2012, everybody started complaining that prices are too low. We can't get enough money to invest in new plants. And then the PUC starts doing this thing to increase prices. But they don't do it by getting rid of the subsidies and getting rid of the regulations. They do it by artificially manipulating the price. And so that's the path we've been on for, like I said, about a decade or so. And that's what they're doing right now.
That's always a roller coaster. That's always a roller coaster when you have government regulators start doing that kind of thing. It's sort of like the Fed manipulating money. It just always becomes a... You know, it always whiplashes way one way, the other way, more than they intended, and then it goes back the other way. What's wrong with the idea when it was a market-based system, letting the market work it out? Because that seems to work in everything else.
Well, and that's what they're doing today, right? It's clear to everybody that the subsidies are the problem, but they're not willing to take on the subsidies because even Republicans, it seems, are afraid to take on green energy, right? It's just too much trouble. You know, you go after them and they come after you and you look bad to the public because, oh, you're not for the environment and those kind of things. And so rather than go after the subsidies for green energy and just get them out of the way, and this is true even with the Senate plan that you're talking about where they're trying to punish them a little bit, but they're just going after the symptoms. They're going to say, okay, right, you get subsidies, we're going to punish you for that. But they're not going after the subsidies. Instead, they're punishing the green folks a little bit, but then they're imposing giving more subsidies to the other guys. And it looks like by 2026, where this new House governor plan, and even if you put the Senate plan in there, it looks like on an annual basis, we're going to have about an $8 billion electricity tax in Texas, except it's not going to be a tax where you see it. It's going to be on your electricity bill, it's going to be on your property taxes, and it's going to be on your income taxes. And we're not even going to notice it.
But I'll tell you who is. I can guarantee you who is going to notice it, and that's Berkshire Hathaway and other people who are salivating at getting some kind of special deal with the government regulators where they can come in and we just as ratepayers have to pay them to sit there and produce nothing so that it's available when we need a little extra. I mean, that's been one of the big plans.
Yeah, that's Dan Patrick and Texas Senate's plans. And they're different than the House.
Right.
I mean, the one thing I would say that's better about that than the House and governor's plan, at least it's probably going to actually result in a new steel in the ground generating.
Yeah, and at least you would
$8 billion is what these companies are going to get to do this, and it's not going to be part of the market. It's going to be government regulated rates that we have to pay whether we like it or not. It's called, by the way, it's called the energy insurance plan, and the only thing it's going to insure for sure is that higher electricity prices and more profits for generators.
ExcellentThought.net is Bill Peacock's site. ExcellentThought.net. One of the things you say, you know, reliable conservative free market guy, Senator Bob Hall, he's filed his own bill, and of course, without the leadership behind it, it probably won't gain traction, but who knows? Maybe we can lean on senators. It's SB 1752, and you write about it. It has some great stuff in it. For example, eliminates the ability of the PUC to designate more competitive renewable energy zones for transmission of renewable energy and prohibits transmission companies from charging consumers for the cost of building and operating these CREZ transmission lines. Instead, the cost for building and operating the lines that interconnect these far-flung solar and wind operations together, that has to be paid for by their generators, you know, by their investors. If you choose to go build the thing in Hudspeth County and it's going to take 200 miles to get to the grid, why in the world have we monkeyed this around where the ratepayers have to pay for that interconnection. If you built a gas generating plant way out there in the middle of nowhere, way away from an interconnect to the grid, it would be expected that you have to then pay to build the lines to connect it. Just like when Lubbock joined the ERCOT recently and left the Southwest Power Pool, Lubbock ratepayers have to build too big for redundancy, two big interconnect lines to the ERCOT. But we've been forcing ratepayers to pay for this. That's crazy.
Yeah, and well, we just throw out that 200 miles casually, but that's probably $500 million for transmission that we're paying in order to connect up some wind farm out there in West Texas. It's ridiculous, and that's what Bob Hall does, right? He does what everybody else is afraid to do. He says, look, these renewable subsidies and benefits for the renewable energy industry are destroying the reliability of the grid, and they're causing massive price increases.
The average price
of electricity over the last year, just last year alone, went up from 12 cents per kilowatt hour to 14 cents. I mean, that's a huge jump year to year. And so he's going after those things, and he says, I don't want to give more subsidies to other people. I want to take away these other subsidies and costs that taxpayers are paying right now. And so Bob Hall is a champion in my mind for what he's doing.
Well, that's right. 15 seconds handicap. What plan gets through?
You know, if I had to handicap it, I'd say probably nothing.
Nothing serious.
What the PUC does now, which is the Abbott plan, goes through and at great cost to Texas taxpayers.
Well, that's what I've been telling people too. Bill Peacock, excellentthought.net. Thanks so much for your time, my friend.
Thank you.
Patience is a virtue. Brad on Texas continues after this.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information. Cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
Ransomware or a virus can completely shut down your business. But with managed services from Jeff Barker Computer Service, you can have the assurance of the world's best virus protection and do so without bloated software that slows your workstations. Jeff Barker Computer Service keeps your machines protected and is there to help if something goes wrong. Get the best, most efficient virus protection from Jeff Barker Computer Service. Visit jbcs.com, jbcs.com, to learn how Jeff Barker Computer Service can help you.
Your 401k is likely one of your most important assets, but it's only part of a comprehensive retirement strategy. Edward Jones can help you understand how your retirement assets fit into your entire retirement picture so you can work toward meeting your unique retirement goals. Contact Mark Miller, your Abilene Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 3849 Oldham Lane or visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Farming has never been for the faint of heart, but you already know that. The faith and fortitude that brought you to the table will ensure you're here tomorrow. At Vista Bank, we can say that because we've served producers just like you for 109 years. Through the Dust Bowl, the Great Depression, two world wars, and the global pandemic. One of the region's few FSA preferred lenders, maybe it's time you make your move. Vista Bank, where people always come first.
Election candidates, to request to appear on Pratt on Texas, visit PrattOnTexas.com and use the contact form. And if you don't tell people Pratt wouldn't have you on the show. Now, here's your Texas political swami, Robert Pratt of Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad to have with us Cynthia Alvidritz. She is a candidate for place 3 on the Abilene City Council in upcoming municipal elections. Cynthia, tell everybody why you're running there and what you hope to bring to the council if elected.
I'm running because I'm tired of these folks being in my wallet and feeding us to death. And so I'm hoping to be able to provide local taxpayers with tax cuts, transparency, and infrastructure that they could utilize to comfortably go back and forth to work and school and to and from their families and their neighbors, you know, their neighbors' places. So
I noticed infrastructure tax. I noticed that one of the things you brought up in another interview was this tax that they voted themselves in Abilene for road maintenance. And I'm curious, there's a lot of, there's just a lot of questions about that, about the road maintenance issue, because, you know, if you got the same kind of income stream as every other city, but apparently they've not been able to do it, which means the money's spent somewhere else. Well, now they made this fee, they call it a fee, it's a tax. So you should have, I mean, it's the way that fee is calculated, Cynthia Alvidrez, is such that they should have been able to estimate to within a few thousand dollars of what it's going to bring in every year when they proposed it. And yet now it seems, oh no, it's not enough. It can't. I don't understand what the deal is with that. Address that issue.
Well, it's obvious that these monies are not going to our streets, because we actually had an agency come in, Frugro, I believe is their name, that came in and did an assessment on our streets, and our streets have actually gotten worse since they implemented the street maintenance tax. So our taxes are not going to assure that our streets are getting fixed. Now, what they're doing with that money, I have no idea, but I could tell you they're not going to the streets. Because if they were, they wouldn't look the way that they do. We wouldn't have professional companies coming in and telling us that our streets are failing. Actually, over half of the residential streets here in Abilene need rehabilitation or reconstruction.
Well, I can say from somebody that travels a lot, that's pretty much true everywhere. What's bothered me about it is the claim that, you know, the same revenue streams Abilene gets as every other city its size, and yet they take care of their streets. Abilene creates this unique tax, tells everybody that's going to be the solution, and then it's been in place now a while, and it seems like it didn't do anything. I mean, I know they've probably announced some projects. Where does this money go? You said also that there was a balance of funds out there that could have gone for tax cuts or to offset spending or something like that, but instead they've decided to spend just on things maybe the public didn't want, or what's that about?
So we have what's called a minor improvement fund. And what a lot of people don't know is that fund was created with excess budget money. So if there was a year in which we had extra monies left over from our budget, it got thrown into that minor improvement fund. And that's supposed to have been used for maybe emergency infrastructure purposes. Like, for instance, we had a hole in a bridge over here on North 18th. When I say hole, I mean, you could literally see right through the bridge. Mm-hmm. And instead of pulling the money out of the minor improvement fund to fix it, which is that's the whole purpose of that particular fund, we had to wait for TxDOT to give us $1.8 million, which took 2 years to get that bridge fixed. Mind you, there is a lady, elderly lady, who lived two streets down who ended up losing her life. She fell in the shower, couldn't get to the hospital on time because emergency personnel had to go all the way around. And she ended up losing her life there at the hospital, not necessarily because of the bridge, but because of the time it took to get her from her home to the hospital.
What's behind this? I mean, normally local government loves to spend money. The staff loves to spend money. They were spending money in Abilene. Why do they not seem to want to spend money on the things that government's supposed to do as basic services? I mean, that's what I hear you saying, is they even had the fund and they sit around and do nothing with it.
Well, they're spending the money. They're just not spending it on infrastructure. That money's going somewhere. So, mind you, this MIP fund, as well with our ARPA funds, and I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with ARPA. ARPA is the American Rescue Plan.
That's the COVID money they gave out to everybody.
Yes. So our fancy COVID money also got thrown into that minor improvement fund, and all of that money got thrown into a downtown hotel, which previously was in a bond. And the taxpayers here told them no. And they went around and did some shady business, and they made us pay for it through a certificate of obligations. And they also sold our water and our sewer bonds. So I had asked Councilman McAllister a couple years ago when I ran against him, what's going to happen if that hotel fails? And he told me that we would just sell it. Something in my gut told me, I mean, anybody knows you're not gonna be able to sell a failing hotel for the amount of money that you had to use to build it. You're gonna lose at the end of the day. Come to find out, that hotel is not going to, it's not going to be a flop because it's backed by muni bonds. And that's what our water and our sewer bonds are. They are muni bonds that are backed by the taxpayer, and they are the most reliable bond.
Yeah, they're regularly revenue bonds. They're sold against the incoming revenue for those services that everybody gets billed for. CO bonds, as you mentioned, are certificates of obligation, and they those are simply debt instruments issued by the council when they don't want to get a vote of the people to do so.
Right, right, and that's what they're doing. They're making us pay for stuff that we don't want. And the stuff that they're supposed to be paying for, they're not putting the money into those things, such as infrastructure, such as bridge, such as streets. And like I said, we have over 50% of our residential streets here are in need of rehabilitation or reconstruction. And we actually failed. Our PCI is failing.
Well, I find it shocking that there hasn't been complete political turnover, given the long, long complaining about the maintenance of streets and then doing something as novel as voting a new tax upon oneself and the public supporting it. And then the problem being just as bad, if not worse, now that we're quite a ways into that. And yet it seems like nobody's cared. I mean, the same crowd seems to be running things.
It does. It does seem like nobody cares, but I think we're seeing a huge shift politically here in Abilene, Texas, and I hope that this coming election cycle that we do get some folks in there that do care about the taxpayer, that do care about, you know, how this recession has hit them and how COVID has hit them and how real the struggle is.
Well,
that's my prayer.
Last time we did that, two of my listeners got elected, and then the paid staff who are supposed to be deferential to the council spent most of their time trying to undermine them and run them out of politics. I'm just, the whole thing seems really odd to me. Cynthia Alvidres, can you tell folks how to find your Facebook page?
Yes, sir. You just type in Cynthia Alvidres. It's A-L-V as in Victor, I-D as in Delta, R-E-Z as in Zulu. You can always email me at CynthiaAlvidres1@gmail.com. And if you want to get a little bit more personal and you need to talk to me about something, you're more than welcome to call me at 325-669-0071.
That's 325-669-0071. And Cynthia has most of her stuff up on a Facebook page. Again, you can look for her. She's running for Abilene City Council, Place 3. And I think it's going to be an interesting election. You've got, how many people have filed to run for that seat?
Thank you. There are four. We have, it's myself, and I have I have names for them. We got the establishment pick, we got a sellout, and then we have another guy. That's right.
And the other guy. Well, the one thing I wanted to point out, though, on that, folks, I wanted to ask, is it one with the most votes wins, or in Abilene by city charter, or do you have to get a majority so there would be a runoff?
You got to get the majority. So
okay.
there might be a runoff. I'm not sure.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. I just don't know the Abilene charter. You're running, you would know. So very good. Cynthia Alvidres, Place 3, Abilene City Council. Thanks a lot for your time. That's it for today. Long live Liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.